بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, the world has never seen before, nor will it ever see again, a teacher as perfect and as successful as the Nabi of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A teacher who was responsible for effecting the greatest revolution in the hearts and minds of his students. A revolution that delivered them from the depths of dishonor and elevated them to such lofty positions envied by even the angels of Allah. Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam radiallahu ta'ala anhu describes his beloved teacher for us. فَمَا رَأَيْتُ مُعَلِّمًا قَبْلَهُ وَلَا بَعْدَهُ أَحْسَنَ تَعْلِيمًا مِنْهُ. He says, neither before nor after the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did I come across a more profound, perfect and excellent teacher than the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself asserted, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ مُعَلِّمًا, I have been sent only as a teacher. And brothers, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teaching skills and his training were not confined to only certain areas of human life. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam introduced a system that addresses every area of our lives. And today I wish to discuss our beloved teacher's principles and his teachings that deal with an extremely important area of our lives, an area that perhaps involves almost every one of us, and that is the institution of fatherhood. As a father, you play an absolutely critical role in ensuring your child's spiritual and physical well-being. You play a central role in preparing your child for life's challenges. As a father, you have automatically assumed the responsibility of securing your child's success in this temporary life and in the eternal life of the year after. Hence, your involvement in every facet of your child's life, your involvement in every facet of your child's life is absolutely necessary in order for you to effectively play the roles instituted by this institution of fatherhood. Now, due to your diverse roles as a father, the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uses a rather comprehensive and broad term to describe the father. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has referred to every father, amongst others, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has referred to the father as الرَّاعِ, the shepherd. And brothers, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deliberately chose the term الرَّاعِ to describe the father because of how accurately this title encapsulates or how accurately describes the relationship that a father ought to have with his child. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized that there are certain characteristics and attributes possessed by a shepherd while caring for his herd or while caring for his flock. And those very characteristics and attributes should be possessed by a father while caring for his children. The different roles and functions performed by the shepherd while caring for his herd are functions that are glaringly similar to those performed by the father while caring for his children. And this term, the title Ar-Ra'i, is a title that not only creates within the child a sense of reverence and awe towards the father, but it is a title that creates within the father a sense of responsibility and consciousness. When you look at the other terms and titles, father or papa or abba, they all create within the child a sense of reverence and awe towards the father. But this title, Ar-Ra'i, the shepherd, it creates within the father a sense of responsibility and consciousness, his responsibility towards the child. Now let us study some of the characteristics and functions of a shepherd and then understand how they relate to the institution of fatherhood. What are the similarities between a father and a shepherd? The very first and perhaps the most important lesson learned from a shepherd is mas'uliyah, the lesson of responsibility. The shepherd is entrusted with this great amanah, this huge responsibility of caring for the herd in such a way that when the herd is brought back before the master, it is in a condition that pleases the master and in a state that earns the master's appreciation. Every one of your children is an amanah, is a trust from Allah. And Allah wants you to return this amanah to Him. Allah wants you to return this trust to Him in a condition that will earn the happiness of Allah, in the very pure state in which the amanah was given to you. The shepherd displays a very high level of responsibility in caring for the flock because he understands fully well that every single animal belongs to his master. Understand, my father, that Allah, the actual owner of your children, demands from you an even higher level of responsibility compared to that displayed by a shepherd. Now, every child of yours is a trust that must be cared for and handled as per the wishes of the actual owner, as is the case with every other trust. Now you may ask that what is the very first wish, or what is the very first demand made on me as a trustee? We are trustees, no more than trustees. Allah is the supreme owner and possessor of all that we have. So what is the very first demand made on me as a trustee by Allah, the supreme being who not only owns every one of my children, but who is the real owner of all that exists in the heavens and the earth? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا أَفْصَحَ أَوْلَادُكُمْ فَعَلِّمُوهُمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The moment your child, the moment your son or daughter develops the ability of speech, introduce them to Allah. Teach them La ilaha illallah. That is the very first demand made on you by Allah. That introduce your child to his or her actual owner and to his or her real master before introducing them to anyone or anything else. Before teaching the child how to say dad, how to say mom, how to say abba, papa, whatever it may be, teach the child how to say Allah. During the child's infancy already, Allah wants that child to hear of his or her true master and real owner. Hence, the very first words that a newborn child hears are the words, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. These words of the Adhan, which are called out in the right ear of the newborn child, and the words of the Iqama, which are uttered in the left ear, are words that firstly impress on the child's heart the fact that Allah is the supreme master to whom he owes his loyalty. And secondly, these words alert the child of that special ibadah which will signify the child's loyalty to his supreme master. And that is the ibadah of salah. And that is what salah is all about. It is a manifestation of your loyalty to Allah. It signifies your loyalty to Allah. If you want to gauge the level of your loyalty to Allah, consider the state of your salah. أول ما يسأل عنه العبد من عمله يوم القيامة. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, drawing our attention to the importance of salah, says that the very first question you will be asked on the day of Qiyamah will be regarding your salah. يوم يكشف عن ساق ويدعون إلى السجود فلا يستطيعون. Allah says there will be a group of people on the day of Qiyamah who will be asked and requested to make sajda before Allah, فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ, but they will not have the ability to do so. Mufassirin explained their backs will become rock hard like steel, and they will fall onto their backs instead of prostrating before Allah. وَقَدْ كَانُوا يُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ وَهُمْ سَالِمُونَ. Allah says, why will they not be able to prostrate before Allah? When they were in the world and they were healthy and they were fit, they were asked to come before, they were asked to come and make sajda and prostrate before Allah and engage in salah, but they refused to do so. Nevertheless, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he has also advised, iftahu ala sibyanikum awwala kalimah bila ilaha illallah. Let the very first words uttered by your child be the words of La ilaha illallah, words that introduce your child to Allah. And who is making the statement? None other than Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who was introduced to Allah at a young age by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and consider the beautiful manner in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam introduces Allah to Ibn Abbas. Ya ghulam inni u'allimuka kalimat. Young child, he relates, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses him as such. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, my young boy, allow me to teach you certain aspects. Ihfadillaha yahfadak. Beautiful way, Nabi Sallam introduces him to Allah. Nabi Sallam says, "Ihfadillah, guard your relationship with Allah, and Allah will protect you." Today we are all employing different means of security. We all wish to have stability in our homes, in our businesses, in our investments. And we are seeking different means and ways and out there searching for different solutions. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you guard your relationship with Allah and Allah will protect you. You will receive the divine protection of Allah, stability and divine assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the first advice Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives this young boy. Secondly, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, ihfadillaha tajidhu amamak. That guard your relationship with Allah and you will find Allah at your disposal. You will find Allah before you. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. When you ask and you have a need, present your need before Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you require any assistance in your life, turn to Allah for that help. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used that occasion. Today while driving your child to school, as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was transporting Ibn Abbas, use that few minutes that you have with your child. And make your child repeat these phrases. It might seem as simple phrases, but in reality, you are introducing your child to Allah. Allah loves me. Allah feeds me. Allah clothes me. Allah monitors me. Allah hears me. Allah watches me. Allah protects me. On a daily basis, use that time or that occasion in a manner that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used it to introduce Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Allah. So the very first lesson we learned from the shepherd is responsibility. And your very first responsibility is to introduce your child to Allah. Remember, you are your child's first and most influential teacher. No other person commands greater influence on your child than you yourself. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advises every father that since Allah has blessed you with the power of influence, not the power of dominance, the power of dominance belongs to Allah. But since you have the power of influence, now use this amazing power that Allah has given you to firstly help your child clearly understand his life purpose, and then use that very amazing power to help your child fulfill that purpose. Your child is a product of your influences. Your child is a product of your influences. Understand that you enjoy the capacity to have a direct effect on the character, the development and the behavior of your child. And this is clearly understood from the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, مَا مِن مَوْلُودٍ إِلَّا يُولَدْ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he blesses you with a child, he gives you a child or he gives you this gift that is ala al-fitra, completely and totally uninfluenced. Uninfluenced in a pure state of Islam. فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِ. The parents then introduce the child to Judaism. The power of influence Allah has given you. The parents introduce the child to Christianity. The parents introduce the child to a culture that is foreign to Islam. By enrolling your child into a Christian-based school, you are in reality introducing your child to Christianity. By enrolling your child into an institute that promotes a culture permeated by un-Islamic and anti-Islamic influences, you are in reality directing your child to a path that may create within him an aversion towards Islamic practices, that may create within your daughter an aversion towards the true Islamic identity. When we just started the Maktab Madrasa about 4 years ago, in the very first week of Madrasa, father came to me with his two young children. They were young at the time. One was perhaps 3 years old, the other one was slightly older. And he was in a state of I could sense the urgency in his voice, and he says, we need to enroll the children in the madrasa immediately. I said, fine, that's possible, we can do that. But explain to me the sense of urgency. He says, this weekend I was out with my family and we were having supper. And after supper, the little one, 3 or 4 years of age, brothers, the little one, he shouted out, thank you, Jesus. So I told him, where does this come from? He says, no, every day at school, after we have our lunch, we are told to say, thank you, Jesus. Brothers, the afternoon maktab madrasa, as simple as it may seem, is one of the most effective ways to preserve and guard the iman of our children. I appeal to you, fathers, do not ever ignore the importance of the maktab madrasa. وَمَنْ فَاتَهُ التَّعْلِيمُ وَقْتَ شَبَابِهِ فَكَبِّرْ عَلَيْهِ أَرْبَعًا لِوَفَاتِهِ Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi said, the one who is deprived of Islamic knowledge, that child who you deprive of Islamic knowledge, sound Islamic knowledge and Islamic training during his childhood years, pray janazah salah for the child. Deprivation of Islamic knowledge during teenage years, deprivation of Islamic knowledge during childhood years is as good, or should I say is as bad, as losing one's life. And brothers, most un-Islamic institutes, if not all, they advocate dichotomization between religion and worldly engagements. Whereas Islam seeks to eradicate the perceived dichotomy that exists between Islam and worldly life. There is no dichotomy between Islam and your monetary commitments. There is no dichotomy between Islam and your social behavior, between Islam and your social life. I commence by saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam introduced a system that addresses every area of our lives. The programs you allow your children to view, the audio items you allow them to listen to, the events you allow them to participate in, the literature you allow them to read, the company you allow them to enjoy, could all very subtly and discreetly introduce them to a culture that is plagued with Satanism, a culture that is plagued with immorality. Understand that the decisions you make on behalf of your children and the privileges that you will award them today will determine the direction they choose tomorrow. The choices you allow your children to make, those very choices dictate the life they will lead. Never expose your child to other elements that may take over your position of influence, that may take over your power of influence. Allah has given you this power, and go home with this message today, that Allah has given me this power of influence. Hence, He has given me a gift, and that is what our children are, they are gifts. A gift that is completely and totally uninfluenced. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا When we ask Allah for children, and when the Anbiya made dua to Allah for children, they say, رَبَّنَا Zakariya alayhi salam, رَبِّ هَبْلِي We make dua, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا When we study the word hab in Arabic, it comes from hiba. And hiba is a priceless gift, a very valuable gift. You refer to it as hiba. When it comes to your children, you don't say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا But we say, رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا Oh Allah, give us gifts in the form of children. Because that is what your child is, a priceless gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So never allow or never expose your child to other elements that may take over your position and your power of influence. Because the child will naturally consider those individuals or those elements to be the source of his or her influence. And you will lose your power of influence. You will lose your position of influence by not giving the child the time, the attention and the energy that you owe to that child. ليس اليتيم من تركه أبواه وخلفاه ذليلا إن اليتيم لمن تلقى له أما تخلت أو أبا مشغولا The poet describes for us who is a true orphan child. He says the real orphan child, the one who truly deserves your sympathy, is not the one whose parents have passed on to the next world and left him behind. He says, but the true orphan child is the one who has a mother. He really does have a mother, but she has to a certain extent absolved herself of the duties of motherhood. Her career, her commitments, her profession has compelled her to dump her child in the lap of another woman. Today the nannies have become nannies. In fact, the nannies themselves are complaining that we are grannies, not nannies. So the real orphan child has a mother. He does have a mother, but her Facebook, her Twitter, her Instagram account enjoy more of her time and her attention than her own children. And that is why they say that social media has connected us to the world out there. It certainly has connected us to the world out there, but it has isolated us from those around us. More connected, yet more alone, subhanAllah. Capturing your moment of happiness. Allow me to digress for a moment. Capturing your moment of happiness, capturing your moment of joy, and then displaying it to the world out there on social media does nothing for you. Wallah, it does nothing for you other than attracting unwanted jealousy and acrimonious envy to yourself. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us of the effects of the envious eye. Al-aynu haqq, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the influence of the envious eye is a reality. Today no person is prepared to share in your happiness of joy. No person is prepared to share in your happiness, in your moment of happiness. In fact, your moment of joy, your moment of happiness is a source of dismay and is a source of anxiety. So why invite unnecessary trouble into your life? I mean, today, subhanAllah, you find that even food platters are no longer decorated and are no longer prepared for the guests. But now even the food platters are decorated and prepared for that perfect Instagram moment. At the Baytullah, at the Kaaba, you find that people are more interested in capturing the moment than capturing Allah's attention. So he says that a true orphan child has a mother. And he has a father as well, وَأَبًا مَشْغُولًا. But his father is always busy, one commitment to another commitment, one meeting to another meeting, one material aspiration to another material worldly aspiration. Too busy. So you'll lose the power of influence by not giving your child the time, the energy and the attention that you owe to the child. Look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's interaction with his daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Whenever she would come to visit the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by the way, she lived next door. She didn't come from out of town. But whenever she came, قام إليها وأخذ بيدها وقبلها وأجلسها في مجلسه. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would rise up from his place. What a wonderful reception, an amazing reception he would give her. He would rise up from his place, he would take her by her hands, he would kiss her on her forehead, and he would allow her to sit in his place where he was seated. Utbah ibn Abi Sufyan, when he sent his child to his mu'addib, when he sends his child out to his mentor, so he tells the mu'addib, he tells the teacher, the child's teacher and his mentor, he gives him a word of advice. He says, لِيَكُنْ أَوَّلُ إِصْلَاحِكَ لِوَلَدِي إِصْلَاحَكَ لِنَفْسِكَ. Start reforming my child. Reform my child, or start his reformation by reforming yourself. The stepping stone towards reformation of others, especially our children, is self-reformation. فَإِنَّ عُيُونَهُمْ مَعْقُودَةٌ بِكَ. They watching your every move. They are monitoring you all the time. فَالْحَسَنْ عِنْدَهُمْ مَا صَنَعْتْ وَالْقَبِيحْ عِنْدَهُمْ مَا تَرَتْ. Whatever you do is considered as hasan, as good to them, praiseworthy, it's accepted and acceptable to them. And whatever you abandon and leave out, that is qabih according to them. They consider that to be as something that is not acceptable. So again, we were discussing the similarities. The Prophet ﷺ drew a comparison between a ra'i, the shepherd, and the father. And the scholars, the ulama, have enumerated up to 7 reasons or 7 points of similarities between the father and the ra'i. And today, alhamdulillah, we have discussed one thus far, and that is the lesson of responsibility. The responsibility I have to my child. And number one responsibility is to be that figure in my child's life who will take my child closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is the objective of every relationship that we share with the next person. The primary objective of the relationship you share with the next person, the relationship you share with your wife or your children, the primary objective, there are secondary objectives as well, but the primary objective is to facilitate within the next person a higher state of consciousness, to introduce that person to Allah, to open the child's eyes to Allah, to open my spouse's eye to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we cannot do it on our own. وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ. We need those people in our lives, and others need us in their lives in order to take us closer to Allah azza wa jal. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.